We'll start off with a little prayer, just invoking the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this new year, the gift of life, the opportunity to discover your love more deeply. We pray in a special way as we're gathered here this evening. Help us to recognize your presence in our lives. Grant us the courage to be open to those places that maybe we haven't discovered you yet, and yet you're there waiting to reveal yourself to us. We entrust this new year to you, Lord. May it be a chance to live out your most holy will, and to know that we're always going to find our greatest happiness in doing that which you have created us for. And finally, Lord, with deep gratitude for your countless gifts, may this year be a chance to bring that love to others, especially all those people that we encounter in our life. We ask this to Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Father, in the Son, of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One of the things you don't want to do, guys, when you leave a house is bring the wrong notebook. And that happened to me today, and I found out about 4 o'clock, and I was like, no, all my notes are in the other one. And it's because I have to say, I'm just coming back to reality. January 3rd to the 11th, I got to do my annual silent retreat. Once a year, we have a commitment in our religious order to do an 8-day spiritual exercises silent retreat. And so it is sort of hard to come back to the real world and talk again. I've learned to appreciate the silence, which really isn't silence. It's more, you get to see and hear the things you typically don't, because you're so busy, slowing down, and you just see a lot more. And after that experience, it's like, okay, I'm coming here. I get to give the reflection this evening. I wanted to take into consideration, we're still at the beginning of this new year. New year, new hope. Sometimes we'll say New Year's resolutions, all those things. But I think it's like, more they say, okay, there's a new beginning in those places where I struggle, because we all need some new beginnings. Christ has said, behold, I make all things new. And maybe reflect as we start this new year, there's some things that I so wish I could change and I haven't been able to. Let's bring it here this evening, because Christ wants to give us a new start. So the idea as the main theme, the pursuit of heaven, I want to use the gospel passage that a lot of you are probably going to say, Father, we already finished Christmas. I don't care. Christmas is never enough time to really reflect on all that we're trying to unpack. It's too short of a time. Enough. You feel that way. I definitely feel that way. And so the journey of the wise men, the pursuit of heaven is achieved one way. It's through a journey. And each one of us here has a specific journey. On that journey, sometimes we go the right way, sometimes we take wrong turns, but it's a journey. We're walking somewhere, and why are we walking there? And so I want to sort of take that passage of the three wise men and use that as a way of helping us to see, okay, as we make our journey in life, what are some key things to pay attention to? When I started my 8-day spiritual exercises, I was alone, and I just talked by video conference with my spiritual director, who normally has been able to come into town with me, but this year he's in Rome, Italy, because we're having a general chapter, which is a big meeting our religious order has every 5 years, so he's over there now. So I spoke with him in the beginning, and sort of a grace and a petition you're always supposed to ask for, but this year really just resonated with me was the following. St. Ignatius says, amongst the many things you start off in prayer, he says, to ask for the grace to be courageous as regards being open to God and what he might ask of you or show you on retreat. The word he uses is courageous. It's not just to be open, it's to be courageous. And I know the part of be open, I don't remember being the word courage or courageous. To really let God be a part of your journey requires courage, because it means sometimes taking risks or chances, because you're going to let your hands off the steering wheel. I don't know about you guys, but I I have a CDL. I'm a bus driver in Italy. And so I don't trust other people at the wheel. That's a bad habit I have. But to let go of the wheel, let someone else grab it's a hard thing for us as men. So the courage to be open to God and what he might show us or ask of us. And I would say that's what I want you to also reflect on this evening. Am I courageous enough to be open? And the sky's the limit when it comes to God, because he can think outside of our box for sure. He can ask anything. He can show anything. So I'm just going to read very briefly here the passage that we had for Epiphany of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Yep. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way." A first reflection from this passage: where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage. Do you think these wise men were just sitting on their back porch, patio, whatever they had back in the day, just waiting for the star to show up? How is it that they recognize the star? There's two ways to live life. Attentive or distracted. The reason the wise men saw the stars come because they lived life attentive. In other words, life was more than them. They were looking outwards. They were attentive. They're attentive to things that happened around them, attentive to signs, what people said. There was an openness, but they were attentive. We know what it's like to live in our times, how easy it is. We're go, go, go. And we oversee so many things. I think a first lesson here when it comes to our journey is, how attentive are we to the things happening around us? Attentive to signs, things that people tell us, stuff that happens around us. I always like to remind that reality, God speaks to us in three ways: prayer, others, and circumstances. Those are three ways to discover or hear God's voice. The wise men saw the star. Was that pure chance? Did they just happen to look up in the sky at the right time? I think that'd be pretty foolish to think that. They knew life was about something greater than them. And so they were looking out. They were looking for something. Only the person who looks can find. In some ways, that's an act of humility, right? That my life isn't just about me and my career and my success, or just even my holiness. There's a whole world outside of me. It's about them. not too long ago in the month during Advent, for those who know in my community, Father Jaime Lorenzo, who does our youth work, also happens to be, he loves music and helps compose music with a group of different people that are involved in Random Christie. They call it the RC Collective. Well, they came here and they did a tour. They got a church here in Baton Rouge, Lafayette, North Shore, and New Orleans, one each evening. And it was sort of last minute, which for those who know me, I'm not as spontaneous as other people. So I do like to have things on my calendar. And if not, I might be that person that says, why are you asking me last minute? You know, if you ask me in the moment or even a week out. I know that sounds like a lot of time for you guys, but I'm just one of those people. That's the way God made me. There's pluses to that. There's also negatives. So virtue comes when I have to give up my plans and say, you know what? I'll change it. I'll help you out. That sort of happened because getting closer, I knew that they were going to have these holy hours and they like to have a priest available to hear confession while they did the music and adoration. And so finally he hadn't asked me, and I was the one who said, you know, that holy hour is coming up. Do you need help with confessions? He said, oh yeah, that would be great. I'm thinking, you're killing me. Well, 4 weeks ago, you told us this. You just had to ask them. That's all I'm going to say. I didn't say that. But all that, I let it go. And I said, okay, I already have plans, but I think it can change and I'll be there. Internally, I was a little frustrated with him. And he knows this, so don't worry. There's nothing new. This is really a bunch of guys that are priests, I know, but we're still human. We have our differences in the sense of personality, et cetera. So a little on the inside, like, you just could have done this better. And so I arrived to help the very first confession. Bless me, Father, for I've said it's been over 20 years since my last confession. And in that moment is like God hit me over the head with a hammer and said, and you were complaining because he asked you last minute? I could have said no. Thankfully, I didn't. Maybe he would have somehow found the way, but it was just one of those moments, a very clear sign for me. Obviously, that I was supposed to be there that evening. And it wasn't just that. That was the first one. And the very last one was even more. It was over 30 years. And it was just like God, in his simple way, saying, I needed you here this evening. How many times we give in to that temptation and say, you know what, it's too late, buddy. You asked me too late. I already have plans. I can't be there. I'm okay with that. We can justify a lot of times our decisions that way. And I could have. I'm grateful I didn't, because I would have missed the huge opportunity to be God's instrument. There are so many other times where I probably did say no, and I missed those opportunities. So this is just the first thing in my journey. How attentive am I to the things happening around me? That God can actually be speaking to me through the things that are happening. The wise men saw the star, and that was super important, because look what it led to. They were one of the few, the privilege to be able to be there. And so that's just the first reflection this evening, man, as we talk about this journey through life. How are we walking? How much are we looking out? How attentive are we to signs of the times, things that are happening through others? This one is, I think, a real challenge, just because busyness is like, it steals so much from us. So what ways do we need to slow down? After my 8-day silent retreat, it's always the same takeaway. Like, if only internally I could slow down more, I would see so much more. The second reflection taken from this gospel passage. Then Herod called the Magi secretly. When's the last time when things happen in life, when there's obstacles, we think something's wrong? King Herod, the wise men at this moment didn't know it, but King Herod, one intention, to kill that child, to stop God's plans. He was an obstacle to something that was so important for the history of salvation. When we are confronted with an obstacle, how easy it is to throw in the towel or say, I guess it's not meant to be here. Let's go somewhere else. Or what am I doing wrong, Father? Everything's going wrong. So I have to be doing something wrong. The lesson here that's learned for this journey, man, is obstacles are going to be a part of the journey. Just because there's obstacles doesn't mean something's wrong. I would say obstacles a lot of times can be a sign that you're on the right path. King Herod wanted to kill the child. Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt after the child was born. Everything was going wrong, so we think. But that was all part of the journey. Why is it that immediately our mind, when something is hard or difficult, we say, well, must not be this or something's wrong? The reality of obstacles, and that's going to be a part of the journey. God came into this world and they tried to kill him. Do you think we're going to be free of obstacles? And so I think it's just a challenge, especially because it's the times we live, the culture and society. It's almost like we're taught if there's an obstacle, we'll just go another way. Try something else. Don't do that. That's too hard. Obstacles that are going to be a part of that journey. I remember a few years back, there was a seminarian living with us. It was the time of Hurricane Ida, which affected us there on the North Shore, and of course, shut down the airport in New Orleans for a couple of days. And the seminarian was supposed to get out to Connecticut for a gathering they were having, which he also really wanted to go to. Well, the storm comes, the airport shut down. Obviously, he's not going anywhere. But he's like, wait a minute, but my flight's going to go through Atlanta. Maybe if I drive to Atlanta, then I can catch the flight from there. I can still make it. I said, that's fine. Sure. Well, he leaves the house with a car that has all the lights blinking. It should have been a sign. But I guess to him, he's not too mechanically inclined. He just thought that was normal. You know, check engine, blinking lights, all of it. And about an hour and a half into the drive, the car just shuts down. Well, he ran it into the ground. The motor literally cracked. If that's not enough to say, look, you're not going up to Connecticut, right? Like, he was just, I'm going to make it. And still at that point, he's like, can someone come and pick me up and drive me to Atlanta? And we're all like, no. An hour and a half there, and then another whatever, 6.5 hours, forget that. Like, I just share that in the sense of like, here, he really wanted something. And sometimes when we really want it, yeah, we'll stick through it. But when it's something that's difficult that we don't necessarily choose, how many times that'll, you know, let's change plans. Let's try something else. As opposed to, wait a minute, like I prayed about this. I really thought this was the right decision. Let's go for it. An obstacle doesn't necessarily mean that it's not the right thing. Obstacles are going to be a part of that. The third reflection taken from this gospel. Then they departed for their country by another way. Bishop Fulton Sheen, which there's talk that he might be beatified because of a possible miracle that's happening. It's awesome to hear that. Definitely someone who had a great impact in this country. Has an awesome reflection on this. And it talks about when we've truly encountered God, we can't stay the same. And so it's obvious they wouldn't go back the same route because they weren't the same men. When we truly encounter God, we can't stay the same. That's a sign that we've encountered God. We know deep down within us that something has to change. And so that's why they went back a different route. Of course, you read the passage, the angel, the dream, the way you want to interpret, but it's That's all because they encountered Christ. Now they could see God in places where they may not have before. All they have to say, you can't go back the same when you've encountered God. Do you believe that? Like if you were to go now on this free time before Jesus and the Eucharist and have a real encounter, which is not necessarily what you do or don't do, that can help, but it's God's grace who shows himself to you, whether through a powerful experience, whether through actual words that you hear within your heart, whatever it is, do I really believe that if I encounter Christ, I will not be the same? It will change me. I think if I believe that, I would be knocking at the adoration door as much time as I could. I would want to be in there in hopes that something in me would change. They went back a different route. And that's revealing to us that a true encounter with Christ, we won't be the same. The journey will change. And God does that for us. And then finally, the last reflection here, and this is more just food for thought for this evening, this prayer time that you're going to have now. Here, this whole passage is all about the star, right? The star that appeared, the star that led them, the star that then stopped over the child. Of course, the star was leading to something, which was that encounter with Christ. What star or stars, plural, are you following in this journey? What are the things that for you are key things that I say, like, I need to listen to that. This is something important to me. It helps me determine where I'm going, what decisions I make. I think it's interesting that the word star is also sort of applied to our culture and society, but for a very different way, but it's the wrong way. And it's with social media and different things, but not just the social media, and that has a ripple effect. All these superstars, famous people in this country, and like kids dying to be just like them. Star. They dress that way, I'm gonna dress that way. Their song's cool, I'm gonna listen to that song. The influence of those stars. Precisely what our Lord is meant to be for us. How many times we look for that star in the wrong places. And I know, man, you're not looking at those famous people, so to speak. But there are probably other stars sometimes that we let in that influence us and don't lead us in the right way. Or they take us away from the star, which leads us to Christ. How many times our own intellect, our will, like that thought process and the decision we make, it's the star. Our pride, it's the star. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Like I put a lot of work into this. What is the star or stars that you're following in your life? What are those things that you're constantly referencing, saying, okay, I'm on the right path, though I'm on the wrong way? What are those stars? Is it how successful and how enjoying your work is right now? Is it that there's no conflict at home? Is it that I know exactly what I'm supposed to do in life? I have the peace, it's right, because like everything's in order and I know what I'm supposed to do. What's the star in your life? I invite you to reflect on, because we just celebrated the baptism of our Lord this past Sunday. Speaking of star, superheroes, all that, your three superpowers that you've been given through baptism, faith, hope, and love, as guiding stars. That's what's unique about you. Those are gifts and you're given. That if you didn't have faith, you wouldn't be able to see it that way. It's faith, hope, and love. The gift of faith that allows us to see God in places where we might not expect to see him, in good and in bad. Hope, which is the reality of heaven. We know it's real. Therefore, the things we're going to choose in life, it's worth waiting for the true treasure, which is going to be in the next life. It's not this world. I'm not storing up my wealth for this world, but for something else that's to come. And then finally, love. greatest gift and talent of man is to be loved and to give love to others. What stars are you following? I remember in my own priestly discernment, going to the ordination mass of priest. And this priest was intelligent, athletic, all these different things. And I just admired this priest very much. And that was sort of like a nudge in my own calling. Yeah, I saw things in him that God used to help me discern my vocation. Well, fast forward a handful of years, I'm now a priest. I mean, this priest leaves the priesthood. And in that moment, what happened? Then I was then say, well, I guess I don't have a vocation because he was a big influence. Or was it an even greater awareness that he wasn't my star, Christ was. Like, I didn't follow him. I followed Christ who was calling. And God can work through anything. I don't share that as like a negative. It could have been negative for me if I was like dependent on him as being a priest. That's him in his journey. But it was a moment which I like every time when we grab something that's not Christ himself and it lets us down in some way, or it's not what we expect it to be, it's a chance for us to then be purified and grab out to one thing that's important, which is Christ himself. Because everything else can let us down. So these are just a few ideas that I want to leave with you then this evening. Hopefully it can just be food for thought. If what I share is helpful, great. Use it. If it wasn't, anything else in the passage that might have stood out to you, feel free to use. All that to say, going back to what I started off with, the courage to be open to God and what he may show you and ask of you. At the same time, bring to Christ all things that you want him to make new. Bring that to Christ this evening so that he can bring you that new hope, the belief that with him you can do those things, that they can change. And so let's take some time now for that personal prayer to reflect on this and let our Lord continue to lead us in that journey. Let our Lord be that star for us. Don't be afraid to share with him if there's things that have been taking us away from that journey so far as going towards him, to have the humility to ask for his grace and help in those things.